Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Where healing begins with you, and we're here to support you along the way.
Hello, our amazing listeners. Thanks for joining our conversation today, our continued conversation about attachment. We have loved diving into this topic on so many different levels. I like that we're giving ourselves the whole month to really talk about this because it is so nuanced and there are so many ways that attachment plays into not only just relationships in general, but specifically relationships where there's been betrayal, abuse, and even divorce. I see this with my own divorce ladies as well. Today, this is a really great question of, okay, well, is this my attachment wound that's showing up right now? Or is something still off with him? And then how do you separate those two? And how can we look at those two things as their own individual components? And how are they playing into the reality of the situation today? I think this is a really great question. I love that we're talking about this, Alana, because I know this comes up so often for all of us, right?
Well, and the question, is this my attachment wound? My brain instantly goes, are we talking about the attachment wound that's happened from the betrayal? Or are we talking about attachment wounds from childhood? And I think both have to be looked at. Absolutely. Because both can be showing up and impacting us that has nothing to do with whether we are currently emotionally or physically safe in our relationship. And so even me saying this, my brain is like, oh no, we are going to totally overwhelm people with diving deep with this. So maybe we just give a disclaimer that if you're brand new to recovery, this might not be the episode for you because we are digging a little bit deeper. And to do the type of processing that we're going to talk about here, I don't see clients ready for that when they're still in that phase one of healing, of safety, stabilization. We're trying to just emotionally regulate after getting traumatized. This is more, we're deep in the grieving and mourning, and we're trying to understand where exactly the different pains are coming from.
Yeah. So phase two, going back to our APSATS model, the phase two of the betrayed partner couple model, we're in phase two here with this conversation. But let's go ahead and just spend a little bit of time here because I think this goes for everybody, no matter where you're at in your healing journey. So those who might be new, might be showing up with raw. What I want to offer you first and foremost, and again, I think applies to anybody because we just threw a lot at you with the question, right? Is this my attachment wound from early childhood? Is this my attachment wound from the betrayal? Is this just, he's not doing his work? I want to hold my head and be like, oh my gosh, I don't even know. And it's that word safety always, which is pillar one. And when we don't know, when we feel confused, when we feel like, oh my gosh, there's so many pieces of this. I just got to figure this out. What is it? What is it? What is it? This is when you have to hit pause and turn towards yourself. Take a deep breath and trust what is showing up right now, because that's what we want to believe first and foremost. We want to believe your body. It doesn't matter if your body's wrong. You have the right to be wrong. Thank you, Vicky Tidwell. You have the right to be wrong. Right now, in order to get some sense of safety within your own central nervous system, we want to just agree with the body. So if the relationship doesn't feel safe because you think your body's telling you he's not doing his work, okay, we're going to trust that. Now, what do I need to do? Take a step back from the relationship, maybe emotionally or psychologically, whatever that looks like. Go meet with your person to help you figure out what that looks like. Specifically, just trust your body. It doesn't really matter right now if it's the child wound, relational wound, or if he's not doing the work. You're having a response. You're having a reaction. That is the most important thing, and all that matters right now. And right now, what are we going to do with that information? We got to take some breathing. We got to get some safety. We got to get some space. So that, I think, would be my level one. Let's just start there. And when you're ready, do have a little bit more safety and you can dig in a little bit more to figuring out where this is coming from, listen to the rest of the episode.
Okay, thank you for saying that. And when you do have a little more safety, that's safety within yourself. It's safety because you have slowed down. You have turned inward. You have connected with yourself. And I notice a lot of clients, when they first start this healing journey, they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to slow down. They don't know how to turn internally. And a lot of times their own body hasn't felt safe. Mm-hmm. And Amy and I have done episodes, like full episodes, about these beginning steps. So go back and listen to them. But I will just say, having a professional who can also help hold that space, who can be that grounding, anchoring, and help you navigate how to find that balance is a word that's coming to mind, but how to find that balance, how to go internally, how to start calming that nervous system, being able to do that. So we don't have to understand the why or the where or the how yet. It's just that slowing down and turning into self.
Yeah.
I did not know how to do that before I started my healing journey at all. That was a really foreign concept to me.
Yeah. I think it is for a lot of people. Because when we're in early stages, it is more of like, just give me the checklist, tell me what to do. And we're trying to figure it all out and do. So I get that. And that's where I can relate to as well. And it's just hearing someone say, well, here's what you do. So that's why I'm giving you a little bit of a checklist. You take a deep breath. You turn your attention towards you and you just trust what's happening. If it feels unsafe, it's unsafe. Just right now, your body needs you to believe it.
Mm.
Because we have disconnected because of trauma and your body has been trying to tell you stuff, but because of gaslighting and all other kinds of stuff, right? It's been ignored. Your body just needs you to believe it right now. And that's all we have to figure out. We don't have to figure out all of this attachment stuff just yet, like you said. So that's just a great little, okay, check.
It's funny because part of me is like, okay, thanks for joining us this week. Wait, that's it. You're good. Your body needs you to believe it. That's it. We're good. No, but seriously, that right there, that is like a period stop. Put that on your mirror. Don't hurry and bypass that. That's one of those things that we go, yeah, sure, huh, good, got it. That needs to be internalized because your body is such a tool to help you and it gives you so many signals and so much information, but we are so taught to ignore that, to shut it down, even before the betrayal, even before someone might have been trying to alter what you see. That just, unfortunately, in our society happens that we get that message.
Our body even gets blamed for a lot of it. We blame our body for a lot of it too. So yeah, this is the true healing and true internal connection that often gets missed so much. But when you can start believing and trusting, and I love this idea of, this is also what helps you identify the attachment. Which wound is it? And is it really that he's not doing the work and creating the safety relationally? Because again, whether or not your body is right or wrong right now, it still just needs you to believe it, because we're going to talk about these and we're going to give you lots of things to help you maybe identify which is it, but your body still might give you this idea that nope, he's not safe. And it still might be, quote, wrong. And we still need to trust your body right now, because this is also part of the relational healing. This is part of your internal healing. This is coming to my mind because I have a client that we're working a lot around this piece. We're integrating the attachment piece to it. And her body was telling her their partner's not safe. And yet up here cognitively, she's like, okay, but I can see that he might be safe. He's doing all the things. Why is my body... this is still amped up and telling me it's not safe. Maybe something's wrong with me. Maybe this is my avoidant attachment, anxious attachment, whatever. She's trying to figure this out. But I just kept asking her, but what is your body wanting you to believe right now? What is your body telling you? And she was still trying to justify, rationalize, but he's doing this and this and this. Because if you believed your body that he's not doing the work to create safety, then what does that mean? What does that mean about you? What would that mean about the relationship? Well, it would mean that maybe he's not doing the work and I have to leave. Ah, interesting. Do you? Does that mean you have to leave? Let's play that out. And once we just believed her body and said, yeah, he's not safe and he's not doing the work, let's just hold on to your body right now. And I literally had her hold her body in session. And once we did that a couple sessions, guess what? She realized he is actually creating enough safety. And now her body could relax a little bit because going back to what I said earlier, I just needed her to believe it because for years, this is what she did. Justify, rationalize, and minimize. So it's amazing what the body will do naturally when you do believe it. It can calm down and it will eventually show you the truth and line up with cognitively what you know is true.
Thank you for giving that example, because we can't talk ourselves out of our protectors. And heaven knows I've tried to do that. I see clients try to do that all the time. But when we actually slow down and figure out and listen to and honor what those different parts are trying to tell us, there's so much valuable information there to be had. But as long as we're trying to talk ourselves out of our experience, we completely bypass or completely miss what lessons we need to learn, and we prolong our pain and our trauma.
Yes. I know that can be painful for people to hear, but yes, this is how you prolong. Everyone who comes to us, right, Alana, is like, tell me how to do this and get over this. I just want the pain to go away quickly, because you have to feel it to heal it. And when you don't, you will prolong, just like you said.
Feeling it doesn't mean you have to drown in it.
No.
You do want to slow down and listen to which parts are being activated. And understand and tune into.
Yeah. So let's just go start with the different attachment wounds, Alana. How would you help a client determine the difference between a childhood attachment versus a relational attachment wound?
So this is where my work as a therapist probably really comes in, because one of my jobs is to really have a good idea of attachment as a whole. So I'm looking at the whole picture. So I'm really diving in to what themes were there in childhood. Because while they're totally separate, I also know what hurts us as an attachment as adults hurts more or less, I'll just say more, based off of what wounds were already there. We're going to break it down and separate them. But at the same time, there is no separating it, because when we go through trauma, trauma turns everything into like a spider web in our brain, and it just link, 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 link all these pieces together. And so I really want to look at this overall picture and see where the big wounds are. So normally what I do is I get an idea of what are some of my big themes from childhood. Was there a divorce? Was there a parent dying? Was there any type of abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse? Was there a lot of control? Were you in a religion that maybe had a lot of shame? And so I look for some bigger themes, and I don't go very deep into them. And I'll see coaches too, of like, just let me know some of what these themes are, just so we can be aware. Because if I know some bigger pieces, then when we're really diving into the betrayal, I'm always listening for what that might be tied to. And it's always tied to something. It doesn't mean, and this is where I see sometimes the person who has betrayed get caught up, is they will go, well, it only hurts so bad for you because your dad did this when you were little. Or, well, your mom was a narcissist, so now you think I'm a narcissist. And so sometimes they will use your past experiences almost as excuses or a way to gaslight your current experience by tying it to the past. So I want to just make it clear that your past experiences are not, I'm trying to think of the right words, are not reasons why it's not that person's fault that you are impacted the way that you are. I don't know how to explain that better, but I'll give a quick example. I had a client one time, and she had abuse in her childhood from a neighbor. It was sexual abuse. It was really bad. She did some therapy around it. When everything came out with her husband, there was some patterns that she recognized were similar. And so her ability to heal was very, very complicated because she had this past trauma and she had some family stuff too that played into it. And then this happened and all of that unhealed stuff and even some stuff that was healed but now got opened up with husband was this big, huge, massive wound. But she had a husband who went, well, you're only feeling this way, this big, because these other things. So he was constantly minimizing her experience, and she was taking on that narrative of, well, I know this is bad that he did these certain behaviors. I know that it hurts me, but I'm so much worse off than other people. So really, I just need to fix these childhood wounds because then I wouldn't be so hurt for my husband. So he was looking for a free pass, and she was taking on blame and shame because of the stuff that had happened to her. So we really had to separate those, which was a lot of work, but we had to separate that his injury reopened up injuries that were already there. Yes, but she wouldn't have had those injuries had he not betrayed her in the ways that he did. So he has to own that not only did he injure, but he has to own that that injury did open up past wounds.
Yeah.
Now he doesn't have to take responsibility for those past wounds, but there still has to be responsibility that his choices today did reopen up her past wounds. That was a very complicated, and this isn't one client. I've actually had this.
I was going to say, this is so common.
Yeah, I've had this scenario with multiple clients, and I'm shoving them all into one cohesive or concise story. But it's so complicated. They're so connected, but also there is a power in being able to pull these pieces apart and look at them and separate them and heal each of the different wounds.
Yeah. No, I love that example you gave. And I think that that answers the question beautifully. And as you're talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's just a reopening. It's like when you literally think of a wound and in your childhood that you had, and you did all the casting and the bandaging and even maybe physical therapy, and you did all of that work, it's obviously going to get re-injured. When I was young, I broke my kneecap playing football in high heels. Let's just leave it at that.
And that is why I love you.
Right there. That sums it all up. Playing football, you know, broke my kneecap. And of course, went through all of the work, right? Casting, the whole deal, physical therapy. Oh my gosh, crutches, all of it. And then in my adulthood, I picked up running again and I re-injured my knee. It felt like it did when I originally injured it. It was still painful. It was still agonizing. And I think that's where we can get a little confused, because the pain, the story that our body is telling us about this experience is going to be very similar, especially since my body knows what that pain is. It knows that that's the trauma part that's created with that original wound. And so it makes it easy to lump it all together. And in a way, like you're saying, it is. Because of the story the body has around this injury. When you are still feeling the pain, I think number one, trying to figure out where it's coming from isn't the first step. Mm-hmm. When you're feeling the pain and the re-injury of the wound, no matter where it's coming from, it's still pain. And we still need to bandage that up. We need to care for the wound. That's number one. When I re-injured it, it wasn't, okay, let's go back to my childhood and figure out what I did wrong in my childhood. And maybe I should wear a cast in another 6 weeks. No, it hurts now. I need to address the pain and the wound now. And am I going to, now we're speaking relationally, am I going to give the casting job to the one who injured me? Am I going to hand him the materials to cast my leg? Hello. I'm going to do someone who I trust, someone who's trained and qualified. And I'm going to also, me myself, I'm going to take care of myself. So going back to, what are these steps? Where do I start? That's where you start first when you have this kind of injury.
I think about, you and I have both been doing a lot of family of origin work the last couple of years. And that's phase three healing. The family of origin and really diving into that came later. And both of us, we didn't touch that for a long time. I had a lot of stability just in my relationship within myself. I did some family of origin, but it was years before I really felt that desire to really dive deep and look into that. And then as I've done that, that's brought up some unique levels of healing that have been really beneficial and really painful. But I couldn't have touched some of the stuff that I've touched the last couple of years within the first couple of years.
No.
Because going back to those three main phases, I needed safety and stability in the beginning. Then I had a lot of grief and mourning, and really so much of my brain was just focused around the attachment injuries that were with my partner. And then later when I was ready, then I dove into those deeper stuff because I wanted that own individual healing for myself.
Have to have it yourself. I mean, just physiologically speaking, that's why my body wasn't ready to handle some of the deeper family origin work, because it needed time to heal that, all the parts, right? That central nervous system, it takes time to reorient to safety, not only externally, but within my own body. And then when it felt stable enough, sturdy enough, like, okay, we can handle digging in. That's what I love about the body and doing body work, is my body knew when it was ready. Mm-hmm. And it told me when it was ready. And because I've been working on practicing listening to it and trusting my body, I'm doing full circle here, because I believe my body more than I ever have before, then I can lean into the uncomfortable around those early attachment wounds. I can trust myself to hold the pain that comes with learning more about those old attachment wounds, because it's not going to throw me into a trauma response now. But to your point, when you are already in a trauma response, when you're already in survival mode, then this isn't the time to dig into those deep wounds, because it needs to know that, hey, you can handle this. You can handle this. You can process it.
I never thought about that, but you're so right. It was my body that told me it was time to do some of that deeper work. And then I started some somatic type healing, which then really helped me unlock some deeper things. I do want to reiterate again, I will tell clients in the beginning when I'm doing an attachment history and I'm getting a basic level of overview of their attachment, I'll say, I'm not going to spend a ton of time here, but I do want to get a picture of what your attachment in childhood was like, because it gives me key pieces of information with what's happening in your relationship today. But if you have a therapist who is spending all the time in the past and not really attending to your here and now, that can be really problematic. So we want some information on the past, but then we want to really, again, safety and stabilization, grief and mourning.
Yeah. I love that clarification. I like using it too, and just asking them, what did you notice as you filled out the attachment questionnaire and what did you notice? And that is cool just because a lot of times they will already have that sense of knowing and things will come up. I had a client the other day that was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize this piece. I didn't realize how emotionally shut down our family was. By answering those questions. And so she came to a lot of her own awareness and sense of knowing. I didn't even have to go there. So it's just really cool to see how this plays into your healing wherever you're at.
So I have a client and I'm thinking about the second half of this question where it says, is this my attachment wound or is it something off with him? So I have a client who has identified that she has very anxious attachment. And so that has been a big question for her. While I'm anxiously attached, therefore he does anything remotely disconnecting. And that feels so threatening to me. And so her big question in essence is, am I the problem here? But I want to say this client did something that I thought was really cool. And she's a little further in her journey, but she got a workbook and began looking at what anxious attachment was. And she started doing the different assignments in there and started journaling and learning about her anxious attachment. Then when she would come to session, we would work on listening to her body and what she was seeing and what she was experiencing and how her body was responding to it. So she was doing these two different types of work, but in conjunction with each other. And it gave her this beautiful gift of being able to see, yes, this is how my anxious attachment is impacting me. And I can also know that, yes, my anxious attachment gets triggered when he does this or this or this, but also my body is seeing and feeling these things. And I can recognize that those aren't actually anxious attachment. Those are just things that are outside of my value system that I'm not okay with. And so, again, they're connected, but they're separate. And so as she did work in the two different areas, and again, she's probably a couple of years into her work, but as she did both of these areas together, she could see more clearly when anxious attachment was getting triggered and it just simply was that anxiety. And when, no, there's things outside of my value system that are happening that my body says are not okay.
Yeah, I love that example. And when you were saying that, the word boundaries came to mind. Because when you are boundaryless, then this work that your client did is going to be really, really hard to do. And when you do have boundaries, this also can, I don't even know the right word, but just so beneficial.
Can you say why? For all these women who struggle with boundaries and they're like, oh, don't tell me that.
Well, because it, number one, helps you to understand what is stemming from within you and then what is a reaction to your partner's action. Because when you've established this is what's okay and not okay with me, now it's very easier to say, oh, I've already communicated this isn't okay and his behavior just crossed that boundary. Now that helps me see this is a behavior, a boundary violation versus me just, and I'm air quoting here, feeling crazy or having too high expectations. So the boundary can really help you establish the reality, but also just, is this something within or is this a reaction to a behavior or boundary violation? But it also just allows you to protect yourself. I mean, that's the essence of a boundary is between you and you, for you. So you have a better chance, because I know it's hard, especially for the early trauma people, but you have a better chance of slowing it down and connecting to your body and trusting what your body is telling you in that moment. So boundaries are huge here. You do not want to be boundaryless. When you're boundaryless, you're giving someone just free access to you. And no one, I mean, my amazing husband doesn't even get free boundaryless access to me. So really, I think getting clear with yourself is, am I boundaryed or am I giving people just all kinds of access?
I do see sometimes where clients want to bypass the boundary process.
I know.
It's painful and it's uncomfortable and I don't want to think about it. And the fear of putting more walls between me and the person I'm trying to be closest with. But again, boundaries, they are not set up to be walls. They're just simply saying what you are okay with and what you aren't okay with. And so, yes, like 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times over, yes, do not skip this work. Slow down and figure out where those lines are because you're so much more empowered with knowledge. And that removes so much of the confusion in all of this.
Yes. I just want everyone to replay that last sentence. Yes. Because that's what most of our women that we love and we want to help are feeling, is that confusion. Hence the whole question, is this my attachment? Is this relational or is he just not safe? We feel confused. And if I could just highlight anything out of this episode is when you feel confused, it is not peace. It is not clarity. It's the opposite. You don't know what to do when you feel confusion. So trying to do something isn't going to be helpful, which is why slow this down. Anytime I feel confusion, I have all these little like pink flag, red flag, yellow flag. I have all these flag guys in my head, little minions. And that's like my pink flag. It's close to red, right? But it's pink. That confusion flag waves and I go, okay, I see you and I'm going to stop and get curious here.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is not clarity. I cannot do anything, make any decision with confusion. And it's not the time for me to even like make a decision in terms of, is this you? Is this me? Is this there? No, hold on. Let me really slow this whole thing down. And that might mean some uncomfortable conversations. That might mean me saying, you know what? I'm actually not ready to have this conversation like I thought I was, Scott. I need to take a minute. I'm feeling very confused. So I need to go check in with myself. That's uncomfortable. It's vulnerable. It's awkward.
Yeah, comfortable. Because
I don't like it.
I want to have the answers and I want to be able to just show up and know what I think and what I feel. Or I want to go, okay, well, let me just talk it out with you. And sometimes that can be really healthy and really beneficial. And there's other times where I really need to get clear with myself first.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I'm feeling confused in a conversation with him or just anybody, this is just me, but I automatically, I'm like, okay, I'm going to trust my body. Suddenly doesn't feel safe enough that I'm being confused. Is there gaslighting happening is my first thing. Am I being gaslit? Am I gaslighting myself? What's happening? So I actually don't use him to process that out with confusion. With hurt or disappointment or something else, right? Okay, but I'm going to own that emotion and maybe I can get some clarity with him. But confusion, it plays too much into the gaslighting behaviors for me that I just go, uh-uh.
Well, and think about that. When you have that confusion, you can go realign with where you stand, what you feel, what your reality is. You'll actually be able to way better engage knowing where that stands, and that will be more beneficial to not only you, but to the person you're communicating with, if they're in a place that they're open to having healthy dialogue.
Big ifs, but yes. So hopefully this question got answered. I, again, just going to refer to what you said in the beginning, Alana, of yes, we can piece all of this up, but it also all fits together. And this is why working with someone who understands all of these pieces is so beneficial because it can be really difficult. I mean, it's why you and I both still have our own people to work with to help because we can't see into our own brains. It's so helpful to have someone who can look at the bigger picture and help you piece it out. So please do not bypass this individual work.
Yeah, don't bypass the individual work. 100%. I've gone through periods of doing really consistent individual work. I've gone through long periods of not having it. And I will tell you, I grow more as an individual when I consistently, and consistent can look different, but when I consistently have someone outside of myself that I can check in with and I can have that support. And I'll just say for me, I want to continue growing as an individual as long as I'm on this planet Earth. professionally, I don't want to stall out. As a mother, I don't want to stall out. As an individual, I don't want to stall out. I want to keep growing as much as I can because I really find joy in that.
Amen.
In the beginning, it was all about healing and getting out of pain. And so keep going, keep moving forward, keep learning so you can move out of this pain. And then you'll be able to move into that beautiful post-traumatic growth, where then you just get to keep growing and learning and becoming more of that whole, complete individual. And it's beautiful work. So, as always, thank you for hanging out with us this week, and we look forward to seeing you all next week.